Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live at 2021 SEC Media Days, live in Hoover, Alabama. Hyatt Winfrey, here we are, Chuck Oliver Show, broadcasting all 4 days. We'll also be coming to you live from Charlotte. That's tomorrow and Thursday. Already getting confirmation, Manny Diaz, UM head coach, Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech. Well, we'll be filling out the roster, but that's we've got a growing roster of confirmations from ACC Media Days. What we've had so far and SEC yesterday, all three coaches, Ed Ogeron, Dan Mullen, Shane Beamer, boom, right here. You're hearing all of that. Today, Kirby Smart, actually, I'm going to record. I think I'm recording Kirby Smart literally as the show wraps up today. So a lot more coming with Josh Heupel and Mark Stoops, et cetera. So keep listening. We'll bring all that to you. Right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
I try to be a little positive, try to part the clouds a little bit, let that ray kind of come through, but the headlines, they what the headlines are. And it involves COVID. First involving the commissioner headline. SEC Commissioner Sankey says COVID-19 concerns won't lead to rescheduled football games. We talked to the commissioner in hour one, and I said, I heard your comments a couple of weeks ago after the College World Series. I heard your comments upstairs yesterday. Want to make sure I'm understanding what you said correctly, that obviously health, safety, everything needs to be in place, and that's your ultimate concern. But as far as rescheduling a slew of games this year, not going to happen. And he confirmed. He said that we have a lot of work to do. There are, I think he said, six teams that have reached an 85% threshold, which at that point, you're not going to be tested. And that there is a lot more work to do. So that is from the commissioner. This next one doesn't surprise me at all. Headline, Georgia coach Smart says, quote, Bulldogs over 85%, but still wants more. He's looking for 100%. He wants the Vanderbilt factor. See, Vanderbilt's private. Vanderbilt could say, we're not going to let you back. We don't care if you've been a paying customer for a year or 3 years or what. You may be in grad school. You are not going to attend school or play sports here without being vaccinated. We don't take state tax dollars. We decide what we do, and that's our decision. Well, Vanderbilt got to keep playing in Omaha, and I would assume that there won't be any outbreaks among the Vanderbilt roster this year. And even if there are players who get it, they ain't going to be tested. So Kirby Smart says, yeah, we're over 85%, but he doesn't want to – it's not just I don't want a game to get rescheduled. It's I don't want to have a single player out of my 85 scholar – I don't have a single player not available on a Saturday. Kirby is looking at this. Yes, he wants health and safety for his players as well, but he is adding in the additional X factor of what does this do from a competitive standpoint? And he says, yeah, we're above 85%, and we're pushing for 100 because I want to be able to highlight we will not have an issue versus an opponent who might. Final headline, LSU coach Ogeron says team has, quote, two championship quarterbacks. We heard from Ed Ogeron earlier today, played that clip, as a matter of fact, and he was talking right here yesterday at this table. And his two quarterbacks, Max Johnson and Miles Brennan, saying that he thinks he's got two championship guys, and he's looking forward to the best man winning in August. Now, that's what he's going to say, but I agree with a translation of this. He has two right answers he can win with. They're different. Whichever one gets the job, I don't think you can automatically say, well, the other guy's going to leave. Because Miles Brennan got the job last year, and Max Johnson didn't leave, and Max Johnson wound up starting. So That's one scenario. If Max Johnson is a starter from the outset, that's a little bit different. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody coming to us for your coverage of SEC Media Days this week. It is day two tomorrow and Thursday, live again from Charlotte. Dan Matthews will be up there. But on this very program, Manny Diaz confirmed, Jeff Collins, we told you some of those other coaches going to be confirmed as well. Not a lot of mystery. It's just what the time is, when it will happen. So that's ACC and SEC Media Days. And I want to get some feedback. Dan, you're back at studio there. I want to hear from you on this as well because – I've been looking at the other media days and kind of catching up on those comments because we're here and so immersed, you know, in Birmingham. But Big 12 media days last week, and I know that Mike Gundy is a lightning rod head coach in the game, and it's always weird to me. I want to know what comes next. Like, what is available for you? Like, Paul Johnson? I don't think Paul Johnson, he could try to get new gigs in Power 5 for the next decade. And it would take a really unusual situation for Paul Johnson to ever – like, he was head coach at Georgia Tech for, 10 years or so. Actually, longer than that. And won. I don't think he would ever be considered for a position that high profile again. Lincoln Riley has more wins in the OU-Oklahoma State series than Mike Gundy does. Gundy has been the head coach since the end of the 2004. See, Mike Gundy replaced Les Miles when Miles left. Dan, your opinion, top of my mind. I didn't prep you for this at all. Mike Gundy has been the head coach at a Power 5 program and has won for a decade and a half. I think if he gets fired this December, he would never coach at a place anywhere close to the ilk of Oak State.
No, probably not. I mean, I'm trying to remember what the prominent junior college is in that state, but I don't see him doing that either. Yeah, I mean, maybe he would coach at Ponca City High School right there outside of Stillwater. Because I think also, too, it's one of those, how much of a squeeze do you get out of a coach? Do they necessarily have that desire to keep going and move on to somewhere else? I don't think that Mike Gundy, even when he was at his tops of having Blackman and also Brandon Whedon at quarterback there, and they were going to the Fiesta Bowl, I don't even think then that he had any designs of saying, huh, hey, if that job in Austin ever comes open, I would surely leave and go down to Austin and coach at Texas. I just don't think he has that. I think he's probably one of those types of guys, to your point, that if the end does come for him here in the next year or two, that he'll probably say, okay, I'm good. Maybe he goes and joins a TV booth somewhere, but aside from that, I think he'd be good.
You look at his career. Now, again, he played quarterback there, and there was something about being able to go home, and I love it. And it's because, you know, you didn't have to convince him. This wasn't remember Bobby Petrino when he got hired in Fayetteville? Do you remember that press conference? And we're really looking forward to calling the pigs. Woo, suey pig. Like, he got it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't have to explain anything to Gundy, okay? He knew everything about Stillwater and the program and how to win and what the fans were like. He knew all of that stuff. He got hired in 2005, again, coming off Les Miles, leaving and going down to Baton Rouge. Losing record, 4-7, never been a head coach, whatever. At Oklahoma State, He has had 15 straight winning seasons. He has had 15 straight bowl appearances, and he wins most of them. He's won 137 games as the Oklahoma State head coach. In Stillwater, I don't know what you can do to distinguish yourself any more than that. And when he leaves, he ain't coaching anywhere ever again, not at this level. If you want to talk about the you know, all-time winningness, whatever, there ain't nobody within 75 wins of him. Like, at Oklahoma, that's like 9 seasons. One of the biggest, you know, stats I've seen ever that I looked at and I said, on its face, that can't be real. And then I thought for about 4 seconds and I was like, yeah, okay, fine. Dennis Erickson, Dan, you remember when he went to Oregon State?
Briefly, yeah.
Okay, it was like late 90s, and, you know, he'd kind of worn out his welcome there. Actually, I guess the early 00s. Worn out his welcome at Miami, and they had to bring in Butch Davis to kind of, you know, clean the place up, go arrow straight. So Dennis Erickson lands at Oregon State. And, again, I'd never applied there, and so I never really looked, you know, as far as the admission standards and whatever else. But Oregon State, it's an attainable entry. All right, maybe you're JUCO, maybe you're coming out of high school, you know, whatever. You can get in. And boy, did he exploit that, because it became JUCO, JUCO, JUCO. And you know what happened? Almost instantly. At Oregon State, a place with zero heritage of winning, they were a 5 homecoming team. Every season, Beavers, 5 homecomings. They got used to that long halftime. He shows up 7-5 next year, 11-1, beat the dog out of Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, finished top 4 in America. After 4 seasons at Oregon State, after 4 seasons as the Oregon State started playing football in the 1890s, after 4 seasons as the head coach, Dennis Erickson was the 3rd all-time winningest coach at Oregon State. I was like, that has to be. And I was thought, well, no, wait a minute. It's Oregon State. Let's see. They had Terry Baker. They had, okay, other than that, yeah, okay, I believe it. He wound up with a career record of 31-17. So that at Oregon State. So you see guys flying up those charts sometimes, and you wonder about, ain't no wondering about Mike Gundy.
No, there is no wonder about him, because I think 2 things that you can take from both of those examples you just brought up there. Number one, your fan base can tell if you're a phony. Like, when you had Butch Jones, oh, we do everything this way at Tennessee. Tennessee fans were kind of even looking at him going, the hell do you know about what we do here? You're not from here. You don't know anything about us other than wanting to be part of us so badly. And that's where I think that relationship started to go off. I think the other part of what you talked about with Gundy is he even changed the way that they thought. And as a coach, that's the most powerful thing that you can do at a program where they're not used to winning, is all of a sudden you come there, you show them a little bit how to win, and they're saying, huh, okay, that's how you do it. Then that's how you get T. Boone Pickens to get off his wallet and say, hey, what do you need for a stadium renovation? Oh. What do you need for facilities? I will give you all of that now.
Oh, yeah, oil isn't new. It's not like, you know, Pickens was using coupons, shopping at Kroger on Wednesdays because it's double coupon day. He's always had money, and he finally started coming off the hip way more when they started winning. And you're right. He established the expectations that he has now fallen short of. He's been there for 16 seasons. Lincoln Riley has more wins in that rivalry, and he's been there just 4. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but first we're going to hear from Shane Beamer, head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. Welcome back to Hoover, Alabama, the Hyatt Winfrey. It is 2021 SEC Media Days. I am Chuck Oliver here with the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours a day to you since the beginning of the 14th season. Appreciate everybody putting that blessing in my life. And we are now joined by the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. It is Shane Beamer. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be on with you.
All right. You at your first SEC Media Days, and you get to miss a little bit of the zoo at least, but what's been the impression so far?
Exciting. I've always watched it on TV for years, and to be over here in person and be a part of it's pretty exciting. So first trip to Radio Row, my very first interview with you, so I'm honored.
Yeah, say it plays to your strengths. Getting around, you know, pressing the flesh and turning a phrase with folks. But the reality is, You ain't doing this for pats on the back or to make friends. You got to go out and win ball games. Let's talk offense and having a freshman quarterback. He's got some experience, but none with you so far except spring.
Yeah, young, not much experience, and that it's a very young group. You think about Luke Doty, who you're referring to, our quarterback, is kind of the old guy in the room, and last year was his freshman year, and he only played quarterback for a few games. And then around him, we've got a true freshman and a transfer and a older walk-on. So it's a lot of inexperience in that room, and it's a good group, though. It's a talented group, and you're only as good as your quarterback, and we're working really hard. Luke's working really hard to be the very best quarterback he can be. He's a great leader for us, great young man, really athletic, and a talented quarterback, just young. But he's a guy, when I was coaching at Oklahoma, we liked, you know, because of his quarterback ability and athleticism, and I'm excited to see him after he's now had a year to be only a quarterback and not playing receiver and covering kicks and some of the things he's done in the past.
Well, you're also, you know, learning about the perspective of fan bases, which means sometimes it's wanting. And I was commenting earlier today, as a matter of fact, after watching the spring game and then seeing some of the comments from fans, I was like, wait a minute, some of these other guys are playing against backups and walk-ons. It ain't apples to apples, but that's just being a fan, though, isn't it, when you start comparing this guy and that guy performance in the spring game?
Yeah, especially our spring game. I think we had close to 25, 30 guys that didn't even play that day because of injuries. So that's a whole other story in itself. We got to get those guys back and healthy. But it was a productive spring game. There are some guys that were, you know, we have some of our best players. The two guys that are here today, Nick and Kingsley, I mean, they played in that game and played well, that the fans are looking at on TV. But you want high expectations for your players. You want high expectations for your team. And we've got an unbelievably passionate and great fan base over in Columbia, and I'd rather them feel that way than the alternative.
One of the realities for you or Dabo or South Carolina State or anybody is just numbers. I mean, the population, and you always got that advantage of in-state. You know, there's a kid who grew up always wanting to be a Gamecock. There's just a lot fewer of them because there's like 6 million people in the state. How do you battle that as well as the presence, what's going on across state and everything else?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, I came from a place at Oklahoma where we dealt with a little bit of the same thing, just not a lot of prospects coming out of the state of Oklahoma each year. So you had to go into surrounding states and across the country to recruit. And we've got a great university and a great football program to sell, but you're right. I mean, we're battling a pretty powerful in-state rival right now. We got great players when I was at South Carolina before. We've talked a lot about it, but people also don't talk about the fact that during that same time, A.J. Green came out and went to Georgia and from South Carolina. Robert Quinn left South Carolina and went to North Carolina. Carlos Dunlap left South Carolina and went to Florida. So there's great high school prospects, great coaching, great programs in the state. We've certainly got to win our share. But it's not realistic to think that we're going to sign 25 guys a year from South Carolina and compete for SEC championships. We've got to be able to come into Georgia. We've got to be able to go into North Carolina and get up into Virginia and Maryland and Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Because for guys that want to play SEC football, if you're in those parts of the country, we're as close to you as anywhere.
Chuck Oliver Show wrapping up with South Carolina head coach Shane Beamer. And I want to ask you about the approach on offense, because, you know, that unscouted look, I've always thought that that's an advantage, man. Well, you may have it because you have a power-based run game and a reliable tight end. And that really is kind of an unscouted look for some opponents, because that's just not what the game is about. It's about spread them out. I mean, outside the numbers, mm-hmm. All right, wide and sling it around. Mm-hmm. And you may have you've got an option of a different approach.
Sure. No, we want to do what's best for our personnel. So let's figure out who our best players are on offense and get those guys on the field and figure out how to get those guys the ball. And it was important for me when we put together our offensive staff and system that we had the multiplicity and the flexibility to do that. And if our best personnel is 3 running backs and 2 tight ends, let's go play ball. You know, and if it's multiple tight ends and multiple receivers, and let's do that too. And I'm excited to see how it all comes together in August.
Last thing for you, I'm going to say this big compliment. You got monsters on the defensive line, and yeah. I mean a bunch of them. Like, that is an SEC. You can win an SEC game with that defensive line. Now, you got the back 7. We'll ask about that later. But just talk about the numbers and the options up front, because those are grown men. Those are SEC game records.
They are. It's a really good group. You know, those are guys that when I was at Georgia, we recruited a lot of them. When I was at Oklahoma, we recruited a lot of those guys. So that's the one position coming into it. I was familiar with our defensive linemen because we've been trying to recruit a lot of them at – And my dad always said, if you're good on the line of scrimmage and you're good in the kicking game, you got a chance to be successful. And I think we are in both those, and we'll see what happens. But, no, it's a talented group, and it's a deep group. And in this league, you better be able to run the ball and stop the run.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you making some time today. I know you're busy. Thank you, man.
You got it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football at the Chuck Oliver Show. This week certainly qualifies. Live at the Hyatt Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama, 2021 SEC Media Days. Again, going to be here all week. Charlotte tomorrow, you know all that as well. Kirby Smart going to be sitting down with us live in just a couple of minutes, coming down the road, and we will talk to the Georgia head coach about a lot of concerns. I'm sure he has them. You know, everybody's got a different – you know, what's the phrase that the poor man wants the oyster, rich man wants the pearl? There are coaches around the league right now that certainly would look at Kirby's list of, quote, problems and say, yeah, I'll trade. That there are guys who, again, I don't know that anybody's getting fired this year. In fact, I've said I don't think anyone is. It's a new day in LSU versus only 5 years ago, but I think the on-field performance is going to be plenty strong enough. In fact, I think LSU is going to be really good. It could be they just lose to A&M and Alabama or just Alabama. I don't know. Maybe the quarterback thing goes sideways and the whole season's a train wreck. But there is a certain group of player programs in this conference, and when you look at their realistic goal, what it is, yeah, that redefines what the pressure is. And I don't know that, you know, you can say you're looking at a guy like Kirby Smart and, you know, coaches on bad teams, I don't know that you really use, quote, hot seat talk. You just kind of assumed, oh, yeah, that guy's going to get fired. Kirby Smart, he gets out hot seat talk all the time. And all he's done is win since literally the second day he showed up. First day, 2016, that first year, it was a tough season. And you know what did not happen in 2016? Georgia did not have the worst loss in program history in 2016. They had a home game against Nicholls State. They had to put Grayson Lambert back in the game in the fourth quarter with like 2 minutes left to get a first down, or they were going to have to punt to Nicholls State in a one-score game. I think it would have been the worst loss in program history. They lost at home to Vanderbilt that year. That's not what that program is anymore. And as soon as year two, Kirby turned it on. And so as excited as Georgia fans have been for a certain outcome, you start to look for that next one. A year ago when I said, you know, coach, or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever we've been at Media Days, you can pick whatever program it is. I don't remember reading a lot of hot seat talk about Derek Mason. Because that the Vanderbilt head coach, you don't have expectations of him. How can you fall short when you don't have any? Well, we got to win some. We can't take the over. Okay. So you have gotten so bad that even at Vanderbilt, you're like, we got to make a change. But nobody ever talked about it. Because it wasn't anything where he was probably going to pull that out of the fire. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, sit down with the Georgia head coach, Kirby Smart. That is next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Welcome back to SEC Media Days 2021, live from the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. I want to welcome on now from the SEC Network, good friend of mine, I'm going to say good friend of the show as well. It is Chris Doran. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's so great to be back on with you, and even better to be here sitting across from you here on Radio Row in Birmingham, man.
Yeah, you know, hey, good to see you. Doesn't that take on a lot more literal
no
meaning
No doubt,
now?
Shaking hands again. You know, it's I love it, man. It's awesome.
So I'm assuming you're like everybody else over the past 15 months. You're at home a whole lot more. How'd you pass the time?
You know what? It was fun being at home for me. I actually got COVID late June, early July. And both of my kids got it at the same time. So we were quarantined together at the house. You know, we didn't get really all that sick. We were cooking out every night and playing basketball against my son every evening. And it was just – it was a time to kind of reconnect, slow down a little bit, and focus on what was important. But even throughout the entirety of the quarantine, my son is going to be a senior in high school this year. But we got an opportunity to work out together a lot. And just spending that time together, I think, in hindsight, is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and you had to find it where it was, man. And absolutely good for you. Family base, that's awesome. Let's jump into SEC football 2021. I'm going to start in the East, and I have to start in Athens because I mean that's the standard right now. When do you think you'll see a dominant Georgia offense? Not efficient, not one that can just chew you up, drop you in a wood chipper, but a different approach, really Munkin getting the keys. Do you think you'll see that this year?
I expect to see it week one. I mean, what a great way to lead into 2021. With the way they finished the season, the last four games of the year, you get JT Daniels in there. You get to use a little bit more of the complete playbook that Todd Monken wanted to utilize. I love, selfishly as a wide receiver, looking at the revitalization, re-energization of that group in general. I know George Pickens isn't going to be there for the beginning of the season, but you could tell the vertical pass was there. He was excited again about it. You bring back a lot of talent at the receiver spot, which was different from the questions the last couple of years. We wanted to know who the pass catchers were going to be outside of Pickens, but you know, Jermaine Burton had a tremendous year. Kyaris Jackson. It looked forward to get Dominic Blaylock back. So I'm really excited about what this offense can do, and it really puts a lot of pressure. I talked about it this morning on the show, Chuck. It's not that hard, right? Coach Berger used to tell us, we just throw it where they ain't, right? So if they're going to line up with an extra safety back there, we're going to be able to run the ball like Georgia did against Missouri. And if they're going to bring an extra safety down, they're going to get one-on-one on the outside, and we're going to take advantage of our athletic receivers against their corner. So I think from week one, I expect to see that offense clicking on all cylinders.
Let's bounce down to Gainesville, UF. Gators, or whoever the opponent is, Gators are down not 7 or 8. They're down 9 with 6 minutes left, and they get possession on their own 25 with Emory. What's that look like?
You know what? I think we got a little glimpse of that in 2019 when Kyle went down.
The Auburn game?
Yeah, he came in off the bench, put together a couple nice throws on third down. And I think what you're looking at is a more traditional Dan Mullen-style offense where the quarterback is able to run the ball more proficiently than what Kyle Trask was. But at the end of the day, I feel good about that quarterback situation because of what's happened and exposure to meaningful reps and meaningful games. We talked about the Auburn game. 2 years ago, you saw Emory get some opportunity in Death Valley against LSU. Even Anthony Richardson, who is going to push for a little time himself, a highly recruited guy out of Gainesville. I think you feel good about both of those guys because of the exposure and the way that Dan Mullen's kind of brought them along slowly, which is his trademark, even dating back to time in Starkville as the head coach at Mississippi State.
You know, one of the very unfair things is, hey, this guy's the next Kadarius Toney. Which is funny because
there is no other Kadarius Toney, by the way.
And you know the weird part is Kadarius was, it turns out to be the last guy. Hey, is he the next Percy Harvin? I'm like, stop comparing guys to Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
I think they're all over the conference. Like Wandell Robinson, have you done a deep drill on them?
I have seen a little bit. I'm anxious to watch a little bit
Beatty
more of them.
Out there at Missouri. I think this into Anaya Smith.
Yeah.
I think this conference is full of them. James Cook could be that guy in Athens. Mm-hmm. I've heard Jacob Copeland may be the guy, actually bringing him inside on the formation, that he could be the guy in Gainesville the next Kadarius Toney. They're all over the conference.
It's amazing the X-factor guys that we've had. Even, you know, Jalen Waddle, what he was able to do in the
Absolutely.
Return game last year. It's you know, it's an accumulation of the best athletes nationally coming to play in the best conference. And I think the cool thing is the utilization of those players and finding a way, almost in basketball, of getting one-on-one matchups where you have an advantage. And I think you've seen a lot of creativity here in this offense. And now with this conference, but now you bring Josh Heupel in, who we imagine that offense is going to look similar to what Ole Miss did because of Jeff Lebby's time at UCF.
Well, I assume the defense is going to look like what Ole Miss
it
did.
It probably
too.
Will yeah. look just the same as well, but we talked about it on our show. Hey, year one, just make it entertaining. Make it fun for the Vol fans to come back out and have a good time, coming to games, being competitive, putting points up on the board, and we'll worry about getting the defense better here in the next recruiting cycle.
Yeah, you used a phrase there, wrapping up again, Chris Doering, SEC Network. You used a phrase there. You said, yo, year one, is Tennessee maybe an environment where there's a year zero?
I said that today on our show. I said it's year zero. You can't count.
I wasn't watching, guys, I swear.
No, hey, you and I are on the same page, as we often are. I feel like this is house money at this point in time. You come in with all the off-season scandal and the firing of Jeremy Pruitt and the negativity around the program. Let's just make it fun like they did in the spring game. You have an entertaining brand of football like Ole Miss did last year, and we'll worry about putting the pieces together, attracting talent on the offense because they want to put up numbers in the offense. It's going to be fun. And, hey, showing defensive players, you can come in and play right away. We're not very good on defense, so come on in and have a chance to play for 4 years.
Wrapping up, I'm going to go over to the Yellowhammer State and start with Auburn. Last year, it was tough. I mean, the offensive line, I think it was four guards and a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's who they were starting.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. Bo Nix and Mike Bobo, I like that because that's a good fit skill set and mentality. Take the offensive line and the challenge out of it. Just give me in a fishbowl Bo Nix working with Bobo. Tell me what you think.
I love it. First and foremost, I love the hires by Brian Harsin on both sides of the ball. Derek Mason, Mike Bobo, two guys that are well-versed in how to play football in the SEC. I like that. I love the fact that Bobo played the position in this conference and has – most recently been at South Carolina. You come in and you got a little bit of a task on your hand with the development of Bo Nix. I don't know that he's been developed that much. I mean, clearly it hasn't necessarily shown on the field. Now you bring Finley in, you create a little competition. Like, I like the dynamic of all of it. And people ask all the time, all right, which of the four new coaches is going to be most successful? Obviously, there's a better roster that Brian Harsin inherited than probably the other three. But I think they got a chance to be kind of sneaky good this year.
What's Bryce Young and that offense going to look? What's it going to look like? Maybe first month.
First and foremost, let's give credit to the fact that, you know, Alabama routinely loses productive players, routinely loses important coaches, and we come here every year and we pick them to win the West again. We pick them to go to the college football playoffs.
You may not be right, but you'll never look stupid.
Yeah, that it's certainly not going out on a limb in that respect. But I'm most interested to see how Bill O'Brien evolves the offense to the next step. And Lane Kiffin will be here later today. But Lane Kiffin is what a lot of people should thank for Alabama's offensive success. The fact that Nick Saban went out on a little bit of a limb, got out of his comfort zone with Lane Kiffin, and how that offense went from what he was doing, evolving with Brian Daboll, to Mike Locksley, to most recently Steve Sarkisian. How does Bill O'Brien put his fingerprints on it to take it to the next stage of evolution?
Yeah, you know, my big question I'm waiting to see is, you hired an NFL head coach and an NFL offensive line coach, mm-hmm. basically. I think I know what they want to do. They want to mash a little bit, especially with a young quarterback. So we'll see how it plays out. Chris, always appreciate the time, brother. You're busy. Get going.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. Always good to be with you.
Live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, at the Hyatt Winfrey. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate Chris Doering sitting down with us from the SEC Network. And we're going right into it from Saturday Down South, one of the best websites out yonder. And I got to be honest, I didn't even know if there is a paywall. Maybe everything's free there.
It is free.
It is a tremendous site, and I suggest you visit there every single day. I want to welcome on Connor O'Gara. Connor, brother, good to see you in person again.
Good to be here in person, man. It's been great seeing all these people around here. And, you know, for all those who kind of hate on Media Days for what it is, I embrace it. I love it. I don't get to see these people on a weekly basis in the same sort of way. My traveling's a little bit different, a little bit more limited. But, man, it's been awesome to be here.
It really has. And, I, you know, I'd mentioned earlier that you know, so many people that I catch myself, yeah, it's our once a year. Well, no, once every 24 months this time, but hopefully getting back into the rotation here. I was talking with Kirby Smart a little earlier today and about his quarterback, JT Daniels. I know that we have discussed this before. I don't have a question about the talent. I saw that at USC some. You know, he's a freshman, too many picks, but he's a freshman. I saw it last year in four games that he played. I don't have a question about the talent, the receiver, whatever else. The only variable to me is the play calling, the play sheet. Similar to Kentucky, how much do you buy in July that it'll be different?
I think I'm on the opposite end of that. I don't question the play calling. I think the play calling was there last year. I thought the play calling was good. I just didn't think they had the personnel to execute that offense and what Todd Monken really wanted to do. I look at how is he going to handle these unique blitz packages with the reps that he has had so far. I think there are going to be moments in this year, and I'm high on JT Daniels, but I think there are going to be moments in which we step back and realize this guy hasn't had a ton of reps just yet. Now, he knows the game. He understands offenses, and I fully trust his ability to be able to adjust and make those mistakes. It's often, what do you do when there's a book out there on you, and how do you make those adjustments? I think JT Daniels is going to be able to do that. He's an incredibly smart dude. Anybody that's ever spent any time with him, if you ever talk with Cole Kubelik about that meeting that they had with him at Georgia spring game, it'll blow you away. But I come away from this thinking that JT Daniels is getting this hype because he has that upside. There's nothing he can't do, and that's the thing that Georgia hasn't had in years past and why he's worthy of that praise. And, you know, I think that we're just going to see a couple of those tough moments early on, and whether that manifests itself in a loss, that remains to be seen.
What about Kentucky? Because they don't have the same collection of talent. Don't they almost have, they have to, like, teach to the test a little bit in Lexington, don't they?
A little bit different talent to have Wandell Robinson in there. He is different in what he is able to do. The Nebraska transfer.
Why'd he go there?
So he's from the state of Kentucky. And I had Wandell on my podcast a couple months ago. And he's a guy that, if you ask Nebraska fans, that was a devastating loss.
He's unbelievable.
He's the best player on Nebraska for the last 2 years.
I don't doubt that.
But he didn't want to line up and run in between the tackles in the Big Ten. That's not what he signed up for. He signed up to be like his buddy Ron Moore at Purdue, and instead he ends up getting used more so in this, like, almost like a featured back type role, and that's not what they're going to do with him in Kentucky. He went to Kentucky in part because it's his hometown. He wanted to get back to his state and his relationship with his mom, but also Liam Cohen sat him down and said, here's Cooper Kupp. Here is film of a receiver that you are going to embody in this offense, and here's how I'm going to do it. And that sold him. And I think that Wandell Robinson, if you don't know the name right now in SEC circles, you're going to by the end of the season.
Chris Rodriguez as anonymous. I'm not going to call him a superstar, but he's a game wrecker.
So I've talked with Chris as well, and they call him C-Rod. They used to call him Little Benny. He doesn't like Little Benny for Little Benny Snell.
Mini Benny, I heard that,
yeah. But he is a guy who, if you haven't seen him play, he is exactly what you would want in a running back in today's day and age. And even though he's not going to be in Eddie Grant's system, he has been the leader in the SEC in terms of yards after first contact against SEC competition each of the last 2 years on an average basis. This is a guy who has not started a college game, and he is Pro Football Focus's highest graded returning running back in the country. This dude is legit. I've been told in the past by guys like Cash Daniel that you see him run through the line of scrimmage, and dude is just a locomotive. There are certain guys who are all of a sudden, it gets them going when they get that contact. He is that dude. He's not going to offer a ton in the passing game, though. He's a tremendous pass blocker as well, which is why he can be in every down back. But he is going to be elite. He, in my opinion, is worthy of being a first-team All-SEC running back coming into the season, despite the fact that he has yet to start a college game.
If we go back, I think it was the 18 season. Hey, man, you wait. When Georgia comes in, South Carolina, we're going to unveil this new offense. We're going tempo and pace. And it literally, it was the biggest fizzle in the entire conference because they realized we don't have the personnel. It's going to be
exactly
second and 10, third and 10 all day. What is the chance Josh Heupel gets into the SEC schedule and realizes maybe we'll just let off the throttle a little bit? Because when you don't have a defense and you decide, hey, let's have a bunch of possessions, that doesn't work.
No, you have to sell offense. I love my guy CD, Chris Doering, but where I'll disagree with him, and I just heard him talk about this being a year zero for Tennessee, I disagree with that notion. I think if you're Josh Heupel, you have to sell to the masses, this is a fun offense to come play for. They're going to take their shots downfield. It's not going to be as ugly as it was with Mississippi State last year with Mike Leach, who really didn't have the personnel to run that offense. And when you can't block a three-man pass rush, you really can't throw the ball 50 times a game. I think Josh Heupel needs to be able to sell this offense for the Arch Mannings of the world, for the Ty Simpsons of the world, for the quarterbacks that are going to come into this system and try and become those guys who can be able to have college success and then play at the NFL level, even though it isn't quite really an NFL-type system because it's got some Baylor principles as well. But that's what Josh Heupel needs to sell in year one, and he's going to stick to that. And even if it doesn't look pretty early on, I think he's going to really try and beat that in and try and establish that identity.
If you ever watch the Muppets, you know the two old guys that sit up there and hated it, it was terrible, and then by then it was okay, you know.
What a reference.
That's been me with the Joe Milton transfer. When he showed up during spring practice, I was like, that might be the worst destination for you. And as it's going on, I'm like Stadler and Waldorf. I'm coming back. I'm like, he may win the job.
I don't know. I look at both sides of that argument. Joe Milton transferred to Tennessee and made that decision between Tennessee and Washington State after watching both of their spring games that day. Decided probably, and I don't want to assume anything, which offense do I want to play in? And he looked at what Tennessee was doing and decided, yeah, that's an offense that I think I can play in. He struggled with his accuracy at Michigan. And I'm one of those guys where I kind of tend to think if you struggled in that system at Michigan with Josh Gattis, you're probably not exactly well-suited to be able to run this offense at Tennessee. I'm not totally bailing on my prediction that Hendon Hooker would be the starting quarterback at Tennessee. I know there are a lot of Tennessee fans that still want to see Harrison Bailey do more than just get occasional reps and get subbed out by Jeremy Pruitt for some inexplicable reason. But I still think Hendon Hooker has to be the guy because I think you need somebody with experience. With they're going to have probably one of the weaker offensive lines in the SEC. And if you can have somebody that has a little bit of that mobility, he's not going to be Dylan Gabriel 2.0. Yep. But I think a lot of things that he can do in Josh Heupel is capable, and at least he gives you a chance.
Yeah, and Hendon Hooker was the guy I was like, that. It makes sense when you bring in a transfer, especially a quarterback, you know, it's to start. That's not true anymore. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, covers Florida State, and that's outside the SEC, obviously, but he was like, oh, yeah, this safety, he's a rotation guy, this defensive end, he's good for about 18 snaps a game. I'm like, it used to be you brought in a transfer because you had a hole, he's going to start and then go to the league. That ain't the case anymore at all.
No, it's not. But at the same time, maybe part of that is because, yes, getting reps is the most important thing, but there's now more film than ever. And if you're at least getting on the field and putting out good film, and if you're being put in the right spots, yep, some of these kids can really point to that, and you could point to stuff like Pro Football Focus grades or the fact that we now have more games nationally broadcast than ever. And if you make a couple of those key plays, it really pops on screen, and these coaches at the next level or scouts at the next level can see that. Maybe they look at that and think, as long as I'm being put in the right spots to succeed, that's what's most important to me.
Agree, brother. I've had a tremendous first 2 days here at SEC Media Days. I appreciate you making some time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right, Connor Aguirre again from Saturday Down South, just about as good as it gets when it comes to college football websites. So we're wrapping up day two tomorrow. Let's see. Today we heard from Ed Ogeron. We heard from Dan Mullen. Heard from Shane Beamer. Tomorrow I will bring you Kirby Smart live. I am betting my Chuck Oliver Show pension that I will have Lane Kiffin on the program as well, and I guarantee you, carved in stone, 11th commandment, Matt Corral, you will hear him as well tomorrow. All the players, all the coaches, that is what we're doing. For everybody back at the studio, David, for Dan Matthews, certainly Adam Gillespie here on site, the engineer making everything happen. Appreciate all their efforts, and I appreciate y'all staying with us as well. Again, two more days here, and tomorrow and Thursday live from Charlotte, we'll have Manny Diaz live during the show, Jeff Collins, I think Dabo as well is coming on Thursday. Appreciate everybody joining the program. Chuck Oliver Show live from SEC Media Days.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.